Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from A Series of Lessons in Gnani Yoga by William Walker Atkinson, published in 1906. Karma is a Sanskrit term for that great law known to Western thinkers as spiritual cause and effect, or causation. It relates to the complicated affinities for either good or evil that have been acquired by the soul throughout its many incarnations. These affinities manifest as characteristics that endure from one incarnation to another, being added to here, softened or altered there, but always pressing forward for expression and manifestation. And so it follows that what each one of us is in this life depends upon what we have been and how we have acted in our past lives. Throughout the operations of the law of karma, the manifestation of perfect justice is apparent. We are not punished for our sins, as the current beliefs have it, but instead we are punished by our sins. We are not rewarded for our good acts, but receive our reward through and by the characteristics, qualities, and affinities that we have acquired, by reason of having performed these good acts in previous lives. We are our own judges and executioners. In our present lives, we are storing up good or bad karma, which will stick to us closely, and which will demand expression and manifestation in lives to come. When we fasten around ourselves the evil of bad karma, we have taken to shelter a monster which will gnaw into our very vitals until we shake them off by developing opposite qualities. And when we draw to ourselves the good karma of duty well performed, kindness well expressed, and good deeds freely performed without hope of reward, then we weave for ourselves the beautiful garments which we are destined to wear upon the occasion of our future lives. The yogi teachings relating to the law of karma do not teach us that sin is an offense against the power which brought us into being, so much as it is an offense against ourselves. We cannot injure the absolute, nor harm it in any way, but we may harm each other, and in doing so harm ourselves. The yogis teach that sin is largely a matter of ignorance and misunderstanding of our true nature, and that the lesson must be well learned until we are able to see the folly and error of our former course, and thus are able to remedy our past errors and avoid their recurrence. By karma, the effects arising from our sins cling to us until we become sick and weary of them and seek their cause in our hearts. When we have discovered the evil cause of these effects, we learn to hate it and tear it from us as a foul thing, and are thus ever more relieved of it. The yogis view the sinning soul as the parent does the child, who will persist in playing with forbidden things. The parent cautions the child against playing with the stove, but still the child persists in its disobedience, and sooner or later receives a burn for its meddling. The burn is not a punishment for the disobedience, although it may seem so to the child, but comes in the obedience to a natural law which is invariable. The child finds out that stoves and burns are connected, and begins to see some sense and reason in the admonitions of the parent. The love of the parent sought to save the child from the pain of the burn, and yet the child's nature persisted in experimenting and was taught the lesson. But once the lesson is thoroughly learned, it is not necessary to forbid the child the stove, for they have learned the danger for themselves and thereafter avoids it. Thus it is with the human soul passing on from one life to another. It learns new lessons, gathers new experiences, and learns to recognize the pain that invariably comes from wrong action, and the happiness that invariably comes from right action. As it progresses, it learns how hurtful certain courses of action are, and like the burnt child, it avoids them thereafter. If we will but stop to consider for a moment the relative degrees of temptation to us and to others, we may see the operation of past karma in former lives. Why is it that something is no temptation to you, while it is the greatest temptation to someone else? Why is it that certain things do not seem to have any attraction for them, and yet they attract you so much that you have to use all of your willpower to resist them? It is because of the karma in your past lives. The things that do not now tempt you have been outlived in some former life, and you have profited by your own experiences, or those of others, or else through some teaching given to you by one who had been attracted to you by your unfolding consciousness of truth. We are profiting today by the lessons of our past lives. If we have learned them well, we are receiving the benefit, while if we have turned our backs on the words of wisdom offered us, or have refused to learn the lesson perfectly, we are compelled to sit on the same old school benches and hear the same old lesson repeated until it is fairly driven into our consciousness. We wonder why it is that other persons can perform certain evil acts that seem so repulsive to us and are apt to pride ourselves upon our superior virtue. But those who know realize that their unfortunate brethren have not paid sufficient attention to the lessons of the past, and are having it repeated to them in a more drastic form this time. They know that the virtuous ones are simply reaping the benefit of their own application in the past, but that their lesson is not over, and that unless they advance and hold fast to that which they have attained, they will be outstripped by many of those whose failure they are now viewing with wonder and scorn. It is hard for us to fully realize that we are what we are because of our past experiences. It is difficult for us to value the experiences that we are now going through, because we do not fully appreciate the value of bitter experiences once lived out and outlived. Let us look back over our experiences of this present life, for instance. How many bitter episodes are there which we wish had never happened? How we wish we could tear them out of our consciousness. We often do not realize that from these same bitter experiences came knowledge and wisdom that we would not part with under any circumstance, and that if we were to tear away from us the cause of these benefits, we would tear away the benefits also, and would find ourselves back where we were before the experience happened to us. What we would like to do is to hold on to the benefits that came from the experience, the knowledge and wisdom that were picked from the tree of pain, but we cannot separate the effect from the cause in this way, and must learn to look back upon these bitter experiences, from which our present knowledge, wisdom, and attainment was earned. Then may we cease to hate these things, and to see that good may come from evil, under the workings of the law. When we are able to do this, we shall be able to regard the painful experiences of our present day as the inevitable outcome of causes way back in our past, but which will work surely toward increased knowledge, wisdom, and attainment, if we will but see the good underlying the working of the law. Many object to the teachings of the law of karma, by saying that since the experiences of each life are not remembered, they must be useless and without value. This is a very foolish position to take concerning the matter. These experiences, although not fully remembered, are not lost to us at all. They are made a part of the material of which our minds are composed. They exist in the form of feelings, characteristics, inclinations, likes and dislikes, affinities, attractions, repulsions, and are as much in evidence as are the experiences of yesterday, which are fresh in our memory. Look back over your present life, and try to remember the experiences of the past years. You will find you remember but few of the events of your life. The pressing and constant experiences of each of the days that you have lived have been, for the most part, forgotten. Though these experiences may have seemed very vivid and real to you when they occurred, still they have faded into nothingness now, and they are, for all intents and purposes, lost to you. But are they truly lost? Not at all. You are what you are because of the results of these experiences. Your character has been molded and shaped, little by little, by these apparently forgotten pains, pleasures, sorrows, and joys. Your trials have strengthened you along certain lines. That failure changed your point of view and made you see things with a broader sweep of vision. This grief caused you to feel the pain of others. That disappointment spurred you on to new endeavors. And each and every one of them left a permanent mark upon your personality, upon your character. All of us are what we are by reason of what we have lived through and lived out. And though these happenings, scenes, circumstances, occurrences, and experiences have faded from the memory, their effects are indelibly imprinted upon the fabric of our character. And the person we are today is different from who we would have been had those happenings or experiences not entered into our lives. And this same rule applies to the characteristics brought over from past incarnations. You have not the memory of the experiences, but you have their fruit in the shape of characteristics, tastes, inclinations, etc. You have a tendency toward certain things and a distaste for others. Certain things attract while others repel you. All of these things are the result of your experiences in former incarnations. Your very taste and inclination towards spirituality and self-development, which has caused you to listen to these podcasts, is your legacy from some former life in which someone spoke a word or two to you regarding the subject and attracted your interest and desire. You learned a little about the subject then, or perhaps quite a bit, and developed a desire for more knowledge along these lines, which is now manifesting in your present life with your desire for further spiritual growth. The same inclination will lead you to further advancement in this life, and still greater opportunities in future incarnations. nearly everyone who is listening to me now has felt that much of the wisdom that I share is but a relearning of something previously known, although many of the things taught you may have never heard before in this life. You pick up a book and read something, and know at once that it is so, because in some vague way you have a consciousness of having studied and worked out the problem in some past period of your lives. All this is the working of the law of karma, which has caused you to attract those things for which you have an affinity, and which also causes others to be attracted to you. Many attractions are the reunions of people who have been related to each other in previous lives. The old loves, the old hates, work out their karmic results in our lives. We are bound to those whom we have loved, and also to those who we have injured. The story must be worked out to the end, although a knowledge of the law undoubtedly helps resolve certain problems by pointing out the nature of the relationship and enabling us to more easily free ourselves mentally from the bonds' karmic entanglements. Life is a great school for the learning of lessons. It has many grades, many classes, many scales of progress, and the lessons must be learned whether we wish them to or not. If we refuse or neglect to learn the lesson, we are sent back to accomplish the task again and again until the lesson is finally learned. Nothing once learned is ever forgotten entirely. There is an indelible imprint of the lesson in our character, which manifests as predispositions, tastes, inclinations, etc. All that goes to make up that which we call character is the workings of the law of karma. There is no such thing as chance. Nothing ever happens. All is regulated by the law of cause and effect, or karma. As you sow, so shall you reap, in a very literal sense. You are what you are today by reason of what you were in your last life. And in your next life, you will be what you are making of yourself today. You are your own judge and executioner, your own bestower of rewards. But the love of the Absolute is ever working to lead you upward to the light, and to open your soul to that knowledge that, in the words of the yogis, burns up karma, and enables you to throw off the burden of cause and effect that you have been carrying around with you, and which has weighted you down.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.